Okay, now we're here to party. Yes.
Very nice.
Tonight club came.
The nightclub came.
Or tonight club comes. Yeah, tonight club comes.
Sorry.
There we go.
But
Felicite.
listen, what did I tell you?
Well, Felicite.
By any means necessary.
Well, Rick. Oh shit.
I knew it.
Yeah. All right. So
Felicitate.
thank you, Ricky. Thank you.
Well, totes appreciated, Ripples.
Your name.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
She walks the woods.
I hope that makes me remember not to say the wrong title.
Was hoping it would do the opposite, to be honest.
Oh, wow. All right.
Is that a girl?
What the hell is she doing?
You can come join us if you want! Let's go! Open the door!
Excuse me, children. That there, that's my sweet little reborn bride. I was afraid we're gonna require your help.
This ain't how you said it was gonna be, Daddy.
My baby's finally coming back to me. No matter what the cost.
God damn you, insane family of Satan worshiping.
Okay, we're gonna have to move fast. We can make it out of here. Alive. Exactly as I say, else we ain't gonna like the results. Swallow it, James! Swallow it! No!
Sippin' suds like we in a pub. 10 out of 10, bitch, fuck. We getting visceral on our midnight ritual. Breaking the locks on grandma's box. Review whatever rocks your socks. Attention, please, our sensual never ease. We feel solace, absolution. Let's make it witchy, there's no confusion. You got blind spots, you're turning a blind eye. If the latter applies, see it through with your mind's eye. The question now is how high the symmetry. We're a multitude, erratically and systematically. We abide, abroad at noon, a brute at night, losing the law of physics. What a ride. This shit is out of sight. Hey, welcome to the, hey, welcome to the nightclub cup. We about to get cosmic cup, sipping suds like we in a pub. 10 out of 10, bitch, fuck. We getting visceral on our midnight ritual. Breaking the locks on grandma's box. Review whatever rocks your socks. Sip it slow. Break it down, roll it up. Let's get loaded, then reload. Thrills to fill the void. Pills to kill the noise. A group of fanatics acting erratic. It's fucking fantastic. We're going ballistic. Causing friction, call it fiction. But it's our disposition. It's our addiction. This shit is dope as fuck.
So stay spooky, bitches.
Bienvenue à la boîte de nuit. Welcome to the nightclub where horror comes to party and where we ready the altar. I'm Travis Maxaboon, and I've already lost one of my nether balls.
Oh, shit.
Tonight I'm joined by
Cody Coe, and I got ass practice for sale.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You got ass practice?
For sale.
Ass crack to sell.
Oh shit, dude. I thought you said you had ass practice. I was like, whoa, you were getting stretched, bro.
Nice.
Nice.
It's all about the warm ups. This is Warm Up Rick. I Walk the Woods, and also known as Jump Scare Jesus. Get at me. Get at your boy, Stephen Kingpin. Yeah.
Yeah.
3-6 yeah. Rick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah.
Boypin.
Yeah.
And yeah, over there, we got Mr. 337.
337.
Yeah.
Breathing heavy, like heaven.
My name is NGC Trev, and I be heavy breathing around corners, at least like three different corners, sometimes four, maybe five. I don't know. It's hard to tell, but heavy breathing everywhere.
That motherfuckers be watching, dude. I didn't think that the cuckening, like I thought the cuckening was over, but I was wrong. We're still in the era of the cuckening because there's a lot of peeping and creeping and watching from around corners and across lakes. Yeah. And holy shit. Tonight's movie.
Still fucking going.
It's still, hey, I'm a simmer down on the cooking because I know even some of our we got one listener feedback. Sam was like, I'm not with this cooking, man. And I was like, oh shit.
Well, it's a good thing that we're kind of like starting to let it go, or else he'd just have to deal with it until we were ready to let it go.
I will make a cuck joke if it needs to happen, but I won't feed the cuck beast. Okay.
Don't worry, Sam. We'll latch onto something else eventually that's equally as annoying and awesome at the same time.
Probably.
Yeah. Tonight's
this
movie.
This is the way.
This is the way.
The nightclub way. Tonight's movie is Tonight She Comes.
She Walks the Woods.
I kept fucking it up. There is another movie out there called She Walks the Woods, made by the guys from Cult Classic Horror Podcast. So, you know, they.
Oh, shout out.
Shout out to that semi defunct podcast. They put out one episode every 6 months. Good on them.
Damn.
But they made a movie. So there you go. Yeah.
They've been busy.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good. I like it.
Yeah. But Cody, you brought this movie to the table tonight. So where'd you first see this? Tell us about it.
On Tubi.
Tubi.
I think I just. At the time, I was just watching just a lot of shit and just clicking on anything, and then that came up, and I wanted to bring another. See, like, Night of Something Strange was totally disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
So when this one ended, I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna bring another one of those."
Yeah,
it did give me. I mean, yes, it is disgusting at certain points, and it did give me Night of Something Strange vibes. I honestly. Even the way it was shot and the level of practical effects, mm-hmm. I honestly could say it might have been made by the same team of people. It wasn't, but it could have been, you know?
Could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did reach out to the director of this film, but I did not hear back from the director of this film. And he doing a little research on the social medias, he's been pretty radio silent since the beginning or right before the beginning of this year. So he hasn't posted anything on his socials since the end of 2023. So I hope he's doing good and everything like that. Yeah. Just to say, I tried to get the filmmaker on, and that was going to be like a surprise. I was just going to bust in here with Mr. Stewart's, but it didn't work out that way.
That would have been pretty rad.
Yeah.
I guess it goes without saying, this has got to be a first-time watch across the board, right? Like, for me, it is.
It was my first-time watch, for sure.
Yeah, when I saw it, it was. I saw it, at this point, months ago, or weeks ago.
Yeah, this one's been on the back burner for a little bit. We finally circled around to it, and this is, like, the last in our sort of host rotation picks. And we'll be starting a new roundup very shortly, so everybody pick some new movies, you guys.
Well, tell me what to do.
Well, then. I mean, you know, you ain't got to. Just please keep showing up. That's all. I just want to see your beautiful face and those Christmas lights. I want to see you rocking and rolling in the camera.
Thanks. I'm glad. I'm glad it makes you happy what I do in this camera.
Yeah, boy.
I want to watch you.
From behind a tree.
If we got nothing, I guess I'll remind everybody we got a fourth wall before we jump into this shit.
Come to the fourth wall.
A new one out. Yeah,
oh, we got one out. Well, we got a new episode out on it, but we just have a fourth wall in general, just pimping that shit. Try to pimp it hard for all you listeners out there. $5 a month gets you in exclusive episodes, exclusive Discord access, where we're cutting up in there, posting content we're not posting anywhere else, and adding perks all the time. Like, we do watch alongs in there exclusively. We'll do like fucking nightclub meetings in there if we have the wherewithal to do so.
We have horror trivia sometimes too.
$5 a month gets you in. And we also have a merch shop. You don't need to subscribe to go buy a shirt. So if you like listening to the nightclub, want to support us, go buy a shirt or some buttons or the nightclub candle. Just really appreciate any support. And thank you to all the motherfuckers out there that's already signed up and have been sending some money. All the real ones
out there.
Doing the goddamn thing.
Bark with me if you're my dog.
Woof.
So for tonight's film, what you're going to want to do is fall asleep on a stranger's hammock and get involved with some blood magic.
What you're going to want to do is leave your binoculars at home, because if you get caught jacking off across a lake at someone, that's going to be really awkward to explain later.
Your political career is going to go down the toilet quick.
That too.
If you're a politician, I'm just saying, don't get caught.
Needless to say, yeah.
Don't do it, but if you do, don't get caught.
No.
What you're going to want to do is go to the tool shed and avoid every sharp tool there is in there and grab a Phillips head screwdriver. Because there's nothing like a Phillips head screwdriver that says, I need to get some blood from somebody, and this is going to be the best tool for the job.
Leave the hammer behind. leave the fucking...
The saw. There's a saw. Like, there's an actual, like, saw there. Okay.
Dude, fucking John Kramer was behind... He was watching behind that corner, and he was licking his lips like, please grab the saw. But no, they did not. No tootsies coming off.
You're going to want to do is find an abortion clinic, because a piece of glass just ain't going to cut it.
Damn.
They were in a red state, man. They were doomed. I don't remember what state they were in, but I can tell you the state of mind I'm in right now. The kind of trigger to get this thing rolling. Tonight's movie is Tonight She Comes in the Woods, hardcore, walking all over the place. If you haven't seen tonight's film, Tonight She Comes, cry off the podcast now.
And let the ritual begin.
Wait, is it Tonight She Comes or She Comes Tonight?
Tonight She Comes, damn it.
Okay. Tonight She Comes is a 2000, originally 16. Because of the fuck, but fuck that. We go wide release on this motherfucker. 2018 supernatural horror comedy film written and directed by Matt Stewart, starring Nathan Eswine as James, Larissa White as Ashley, Jenna McDonald had a farm as Felicite, Rock Russell as Philip, Kamisha Cotton, I wonder if she has any relation to Kirsty, as Lindsay, Adam Hartley as Pete, Dow Nicole in her first ever role as Christy, not Cotton, just another character named Christy, and Frankie Ray as that Cajun ass sounding Francis. That dude sounded Cajun as fuck. I'm just saying.
His Southern accent was definitely one of the better ones I've heard from actors that aren't Southern.
It was like he had a certain twang about him that had a little Cajun in it. Not his kids, but he did, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The little bit of trivia I could find about this movie was that, like I said, this was Dal Nicol's first role. And
which one's that?
She played Christy, the one that walks around. So
that be walking. Gotcha.
She be walking, dude. And the director got with her and was like, listen, Matt Stewart's is like, you're going to be naked this whole movie, okay? And you got to be all right with that. And she was like, yeah, I'm totally okay with that.
Super naked.
Yeah.
Super naked and covered
pretty much the entire movie.
And full of the bloods. Yeah.
Dal Nicol said that the worst part of spending 4 days totally naked and covered in blood while filming this was that they shot at night and it was super cold. So like she couldn't even put a robe on between shots because it would mess up the blood. So she would just stand around naked, talking to everybody, trying to like ignore like her nipples being hard as shit. She said it was awkward at first for the male actors and crew, but after a while it was just like, whatever, here she is naked.
Right.
And the last, again, not a lot of trivia on this movie. Very, very underground movie. Director Matt Stewart said that he had two sequel ideas for the film. One being a direct sequel and the other being more like a Halloween 3. And it was going to be a Christmas movie that he called Pretty Insane. But he didn't get to make either one. He didn't get to make either one of those, unfortunately. There is no sequel or faux third in a trilogy that doesn't exist. I do want to point out that this movie, and this is what got my juices flowing when Cody first suggested it. I went look on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's had a 26% audience score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
I was like, yeah.
Oh, happening. Yeah. You already know.
You know, cuz. It doesn't even have an IMDb score that I can see. Wait, yeah, it does. 3.9. So a little bit higher on IMDb. I guess a few more people watched it, but that's low even for a horror movie. Cody brought this to us in the hopes that it was going to be a disgusting romp of a film. I guess, I don't know. I guess we'll see.
I guess we're going to find out, cuz.
The movie opens with a title card that says this film should be played loud, and then slowly fading in, it says As Hell. And there's this really cool droning effect. Right when it said that, I turned my volume all the way up. That way I could, you know, be a proper participant in what it was asking for. And I do like a movie that has these sort of chapter breaks, and this movie has it all the way through. It starts at midnight, and we get that title card. Midnight, boom.
Mm-hmm.
There's this chick running through the dark woods, and this voice is calling out to her, Christy. Like so many Christies. And I'm like, Chris Christie? I imagine the governor from New Jersey running through the woods, eating a hoagie. Like, my dude's like, oh my God. And her phone doesn't work. Horror movie trope, right out the gate. Phone, you lost in the woods, your phone don't work. Now you know you're in some deep shit. She's got this shard of glass. Dope looking shard of glass. Like that you could tell that prop designed it. Looks like a rounded off dagger of a piece of glass. Mm-hmm. And she starts stabbing and cutting open her seemingly pregnant stomach. Because she's got like a bulbous sort of tummy.
And it's like kind of moving.
Kind of a pulsating tummy, if you will.
Yeah.
Cut to two friends driving, and one of the girls, and I'll introduce their character names as we go, because we don't, as the viewer, we don't learn them until throughout the film. So I'm writing my notes like this, like two friends, and that's what it is. One girl offers to dry off her period spotting blood napkin on her other friend who's grossed out by it. And Cody, maybe you can fill me in on some of the shit they're talking about as we go through this, because I don't know what they mean, but like, it's like one of them's like, it's been 3 days and I don't know what that means. And then later in the movie, they talk about something called Shark Week. And I know what Shark Week is, but I don't know what they mean it at, like, by it when they say it. So we'll get to that part, but I hope you can fill me in on that. If you can't, then we're all some loosey-goosey lost motherfuckers over here.
Okay.
The one girl that's driving is like, you're going to tattle on me to Christy? Or one of them says that. I forget which one. But Christy's not answering her phone. I assume that's the girl that was trying to make a phone call in the woods. And she's like, she doesn't care. You know, don't worry about Christy. She's fine. Immediately cut to Christy laying on the ground, intensely stabbing herself in the stomach, and you get the title card.
Oof.
So that's the opening to She Comes Tonight.
Tonight She Comes.
Fuck.
Hell yeah.
As an opening, I like it. It reminds me of a DBS opening.
Yeah, a little bit.
Kind of some of their openings, like, you know, like very effective. And I thought this was effective. I was really drawn in by, like, what's happening? Who's calling her name? Why is she stabbing herself in her bloody pregnant stomach? I want these questions answered. Yeah. So I'm hooked right here. Some might say engaged. I'm going to say hooked.
You hooked on phonics?
Yeah. Order me tapes, daddy.
Wait, what?
Order me tapes. You used to have to
order me tapes.
The hooked on phonics tapes.
Oh yeah.
And then you put them in those old fucking tape players that were huge, and you'd push down the top, and then you got a clickety clack the play button. You know, it was loud, dude. I don't know why it was loud. I didn't make them, but they were loud. You
it's
know?
Like a little Rube Goldberg machine instead of a fucking VCR or whatever.
There's like a bunch of dominoes falling down and an arrow flies. If it misses, you don't get to learn a new language or whatever.
Right.
9:30 in the morning. It's another title card.
Nice.
This guy's driving around and he pulls over to drop a letter off in a mailbox. And then he hears this noise from the back seat and he turns around and looks. And there's this other dude back there masturbating under his jeans. And then he wipes his jizz on the remaining letters.
Yep.
This part.
No.
Yeah. This part is what I was like, yeah, okay, Cody. I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing here. Look at him trying to hide his laughter. Look at
this
him
dude.
There.
This dude is just too horny. He's kind of got the Cornelius energy right out of the gate. And I'm like, this guy.
Yes, he does.
Too much. This guy's too much with the Cornelius shit.
I saw what he was doing with that scene, and we get to our next title card, and we're going to get this throughout the movie. The title cards are all times. So yeah. 11:29, the mailman is lost, and he's poring over a map on the hood of his car, and he's like looking for this house, and he's like, this house just doesn't exist. His buddy that was jacking off starts playing the penis game because he just yells, penis, as loud as he can. And I was excited. I was like, are they about to really play this game in the woods? But they didn't. And if anyone out there doesn't know what the penis game is, the nightclub's about to introduce you to this. And we used to play this, but you don't play it in the woods. You play it in a public area. Otherwise, it's not as fun.
Yeah, you be under the age of 18, and then you go to a high school gymnasium during recess.
Mm-hmm.
And then one person sits on one side of the bleachers, and then another person sits on the completely opposite side of the bleachers.
That's one way to play it.
Yeah.
You could also
I thought it was just like who's the loudest with it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never lost. What you do is you go to a public place and you just start to say penis. And you got to say it louder than the last person did. Eventually, if people are playing the game right, someone is screaming penis in public.
Right.
Yep.
And if you have no shame, which I do have shame, but I guess I didn't have shame to scream penis.
Not in that way.
You'll win.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Don't be ashamed. If you have penis in your heart, let it out.
Yeah. Wow. The one guy's like, so when are you going to get a mail truck to the mailman dude? And he's like, they didn't give me one yet. And he's like, they don't trust you with a mailman truck? Like, just giving him shit, dude. While apparently catching a ride from his buddy while he's on the clock. So
right. While he's jerking off in the back seat,
wiping his fucking cum on the letters,
yeah,
on the mail,
yeah,
yeah,
that's like, Christ,
that's gotta be a federal offense.
This dude,
I mean, probably. Yeah. But I feel it's more along the lines of like, how would you like it if I went to your place of work and then like right next to you at your job, just like jerked off in front of everybody and then just wiped it all over everything? Like, I'm pretty sure you'd just be mad in general. You know what I'm saying?
So, like,
why are you fucking with my job? What are you doing?
Speaking of a school, Trev, you're the teacher's assistant, and day one, you go up to the teacher while they're giving a lecture, and you just start beating off in front of all the kids.
Yeah.
it's like eye rape, but child eye rape.
Yeah.
Child eye rape. Damn.
That's the name of our next band.
Child eye rape. Nice.
No,
I just want
stillborn porn.
Travis, I just wanted to catch you while you were drinking that beer, bro. Yeah.
I came like this close to spitting it out.
I was waiting so hard.
Oh, no,
I'll
get you next time.
our edgy gore grindcore. Whatever band, our band name for that is Stillborn Porn.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. You can catch that one. Oh, I love that. Catch.
No one's ever going to be happy hearing those words together.
Yeah.
You know? I smell an episode title.
you can catch Travis on the ukulele. You can catch Ricky on just one drum, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I rock the floor, Tom.
Yeah. And then you'll catch Cody on another drum. Because duplicate, you know.
No,
yeah.
Cody's on the skin flute.
And then I'm going to just be playing like some clamshells.
There we go.
Clicking and clacking.
Yep, clicking and clacking.
And wiping your ass with it like it's
Cody's got
man.
Snare. I got floor time. Floor time.
Make sure I have three shells.
Yeah.
So I can do it right.
Go eat at the fancy Taco Bell like Ricky did.
Oh, man.
I was fussing my dog. What y'all talking about?
It's Demolition Man. They go eat at Taco Bell and Demolition Man.
Oh. The fancy Taco Bell.
Yeah. In the future, in the Sly Stallone Blade future, because that blade up in there.
Yeah. After the fast food wars.
Taco Bell is like basically Olive Garden.
Oh, shit.
The equivalent thereof.
I need to watch that. I haven't seen any of it since I was a kid. I remember seeing pieces of it.
Dude, they...
You're like, what the fuck?
They have psychic sex.
Yeah,
and Stallone's mad about it. He's like, "Why don't we just do it the old-fashioned way, Mick? Get in here."
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And then he starts beating some meat.
Oh shit!
As he's prone to do. Masturbating friend Pete, he keeps throwing the fucking map like it's Blair Witch. He's just throwing it away into the woods and fucking.
It doesn't go far though. Like no. He throws it, and it literally goes like 6 inches from his body and just falls flat on the ground and just stays there. And it repeatedly does that. He tries to throw it like 5 times.
He doesn't know how to kick a map into a fucking creek.
Yeah.
So he gets gut checked for his efforts, and the mailman's like reading the address wrong the whole time. It turns out he's like, oh, I got the numbers mixed up. Pete has to go take a shit, so he runs off into the woods, and he's like, just leave me here, man. Come back for me. Don't forget.
Leave me here and come back for me. Like,
yeah.
I like the line. He's like, don't forget about me, you dick. That gave me cabin fever. There's some lines in this movie that gave me cabin fever vibes.
Oh,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
And I will admit to something. I when I saw the poster art for it, the movie describes itself on the poster art as It Follows meets Cabin Fever, and it's right. It's totally right. There's both elements are there and present. And we'll get to the It Follows part, but there's definitely cabin fever vibes with the horror comedy. And some of the gross out shit that we're going to see in this movie. Next title card says noon, so we're halfway through the next day after the chick had like stabbed herself in the stomach the night before. Mailman arrives at his lost address and he sees there's a no trespasser sign with the warning of being shot, but he proceeds anyway. He leaves his truck, forgetting his phone inside, and spits a dip on his way into the house. I noticed that and I was like, Mamu.
Yeah.
While he knocks on the cabin door, several people with emphysema are watching him from like inside the cabin, from the woods. You just hear like this heavy breathing, like Michael Myers, but he smoked like a carton a day. He just never fucking stopped. and the mailman's calling out for Christy Jordan. Christy, is there a Christy Jordan here? He circles the house looking for signs of life, while one of the watchers runs out the back door into the woods. And just hauls ass. Then another one goes into the barn, Trevor's favorite place, and does just ignores everything that's everything. Useful. He's like, do I need a saw a tootsie off? No. Do I want to fucking smack the shit out of this guy with a hammer? No. Do I need to unscrew a very tiny nail? Yes.
Phillip's head. Mm-hmm.
And there is a Phillip's head later in this movie.
So just I do want to point out that, like, this mailman is trying way too hard at his job. Uh-huh. Like, knock on the door and be like, hey, so you here? No, slide that shit under the door.
Why not?
He does, like, a full, like, go around three corners of the house looking for somebody and don't find nobody, and he's still trying. Like, they're not home, bro.
He's new to the job, and you could, because he, you know, you could tell because he hadn't even got a mail truck yet. So I think he's trying to, like, prove himself and make sure everything gets delivered. But like you're saying, if he slides it under the door, consider that delivered, man. Like, good enough.
Yeah.
Not only does he go the extra mile, but then he also proves himself to be a really pathetic employee coming up here in a second.
Oh, yeah.
One of the watchers breaks into his truck, and he's getting a phone call from Pete. So that dude, the watcher, tosses that fucking phone right out.
Yeah,
right out.
Well, look, like heavy breathing. And then grunts, and then acts like he's Bigfoot throwing something he doesn't understand away.
for what these, and we're gonna find out these people for who they are acting really animalistic and incompetent. For later on, it's like y'all pretty much know what y'all are doing in this movie. It's very strange, very strange. And my boy goes on the porch, the mailman. He finds himself a hammock, and he's like, you know what? I'm here. Might as well, when in Rome, baby, take a nap on the hammock.
Which, he was smoking some weed earlier with his buddy. Yeah. And he also lit up again while he was walking around the house, which I thought was hilarious. So, like, because at this point, I'm like, all right, you're high, so I'm going to forgive you the fact that, like, you've done knocked on every entrance and exit of this house and just won't give it up. And then now you're just laying on these random people's hammock. Like, you went from studious employee to, like, just don't give a fuck.
That dude was being a boosie badass.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. That's what he was up to. After all that, this other fucking watcher sneaks in while my boy's sleeping, goes up. And you like the camera cuts to black and you hear like a struggle. Then you hear a sound that's akin to something sharp plunging into flesh and a fluid dripping. 2:13 p.m. Pete can't reach the mailman. We learn now that the mailman's name is James because Pete's trying to leave him a message. And every time he calls, it says it's James doing the voice because that's his mailbox. He's like, this is a cellular telephone mailbox. Leave your message after the beep. And my boy's like, fuck you, James. He calls back. This is a cellular telephone mailbox. Leave your message after the beep. Beep you, James. The two girls we saw earlier, they arrive at the house, at this cabin.
They do.
They're ready to party, bro. they fucking run out. They go to the lake. They're in their bikinis. And Cody, a.k.a. Pete, sneaks on him from across the lake. Cody, I could see you playing this guy really good, dude, like the whole time.
Yeah.
Even from back in whenever he was talking to his friend outside the car, I was like, Cody could play this guy. Like, I got that vibe off of him. And Pete pulls out, this motherfucker was ready to watch, dude. He pulls out a motherfucking spyglass. And not the ones that ruined the Scream franchise. He pulls one out so he can peek across that lake.
Nah, he's got like a ship's captain's fucking spy glass.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All bronze looking and shit.
He's Captain Jack Sparrow over there. Captain jacking off Sparrow. Captain jacking it. Dude, y'all are tens. But we get titties. We get titties here. Those girls are wrestling with each other, and we get the fucking bikini tops coming off, and I'm like, movie. Hell yes.
Thanks for that movie. It is appreciated.
Mm-hmm. You hear, you don't see, but you hear Pete spits in his hand and starts to jack it in just insanely.
Yeah. And these noises that he's making is like,
yep.
Dude, and the sound of his hand against his fucking dick sounds like somebody is fucking like sanding something. It just sounds so terrible. And of course, one of the girls looks up from where they're laying down by the lakeside and they see him. They see him. They're like, did I just see a dick?
Yeah.
Pete runs away. He hides. He breaks out his little fucking spliff smoker and then he zips up his pants. And the girls find James on a hammock and they try calling somebody. Nearby, Pete hears a phone that starts to ring and he stupidly climbs over some barbed wire. What was he thinking?
I mean, he was high.
Dude, it's Pete, too.
Yeah.
It's Pete.
Yeah. Right? It's Pete.
And to describe it to the listeners, if you haven't seen the film and you're just listening to us tell you about this story, he walks up to there's like three row of barbed wire on a fence. If you've ever seen a barbed wire fence holding in farm animals, mm-hmm. cattle or whatever, he looks at it. The phone's on the other side. He leans over the barbed wire, belly fully touching it, and then flops onto the ground on the other side. He's tall enough to step over it. Number two, he could cross through it like a wrestler entering a wrestling ring. But no, mm-hmm. he fucking jellyfish flops his ass onto the other side of the fence. Like, yep. Why would you do this? And
how I want to enter the ring when I'm a wrestler. just as lazily and like nonchalant, like just fall down like it's normal. Just the most apathetic wrestler of all time.
I think the point that all he thinks about is jerking off, that sort of fucks everything else up. Like his decisions.
He's got a peen brain, for sure. Yeah. He finds the phone, and he sees that it's a call from someone named Lindsay, but also that the phone is covered in blood. 4:18 p.m. The girls wake up James, and they have a gun in their hand. One of them does. I think it's Ashley.
Yeah, it's Ashley.
And we didn't learn her name yet, but I'm saying it for the story's sake, because there's Ashley and Lindsay, there's James and Pete, and Christy is the girl that stabbed herself in the fucking guts the night before. James wakes up and he starts asking, like, hey, do y'all know a Christy? And they point the gun at him, questioning him, like, what the fuck are you doing here? And he's like, I'm a mailman. Well, why are you here? I'm delivering mail.
No, I'm delivering mail.
They decide they fucking don't like this guy, and they shoot him with a water gun.
Mm-hmm. With a water gun!
Yeah, dude.
Then they laugh at him.
Because he pees himself.
Yeah.
He even says, I literally just pissed myself.
I like this. I like this a lot.
I like Ashley a lot.
Pete's going through the messages on Christy's phone, the phone that he found, while he's taking a piss. And then he notices that he's pissing on a dead, naked body of a woman.
Right. Yeah. Yep. This guy is just oof.
He a gone pecan, Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And he has very poor survival skills. Why would you be out in the woods peeing and just end up peeing on a corpse?
Not even now noticing your DNA's surroundings. All there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That too.
Dude,
yeah.
Like, this dude is
no.
This guy's a born accident loser. Like, I don't know.
He's a
son of a bitch. When you, this guy.
When you find a place to piss, you know what that place looks like. Like, you didn't see a body lay. You didn't see a body laying there.
Right.
That's a good point. You scope out your piss spots.
Yeah.
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 I've done that my whole life.
Bit by a snake, bro.
Yes.
Right. I'm trying to bite the snake.
There
snake?
You go. There you go, Trevor. There you go.
Yeah.
You want to make sure there's nothing around that's going to bite your dick off.
No spider's going to come land on it. No snake's going to bite it. No bears are going to come jack me off.
He grabs a phone and then proceeds to take like 10 photos of this dead naked chick. And I'm like,
yeah,
bruh, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Spank bank, bruh.
There's no other reason to take those pictures.
I like how the phone starts to ring. He drops it on the corpse and he goes to reach for it. And at, also at that moment, James, Lindsay, and Ashley are all like sharing beers.
Right.
And James cannot hang. He cannot hang with these women.
No, that boy is a bitch.
He says he needs to call his friend. He's like, look, I need to call my buddy. I left him out in the woods. And they were like, wait, green jacket, beanie, beer, little penis. Title card, 7:06 p.m. This is when, yeah, this is when Pete was taking his photos of the dead body. Then he goes in to kiss the corpse. That's when she wakes up and he's like, oh shit. He covers her with the jacket and he tries calling Lindsay back.
And he actively tries not to look at her.
Mm-hmm. Right. And now that she's alive. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. So like you have some human decency, but not a whole lot.
Right. Right. Yeah.
he's got the shames.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy got too much Cornelius in him.
Thank God he doesn't have full blown Cornelius, because he'd have killed her, then raped her.
Yeah.
Killed her again, then raped her. He's trying to call, but Lindsay misses the call because she's busy telling James that she's wet. So Pete leaves a voicemail, and James is like, okay, I'm going to go get the sleeping bags. And he's trying to run off with the sleeping bag so he can go fuck what's her name.
Okay.
They can't get into the
cabin. I like this scene. Yeah, this is great.
Also,
it's like, that's my sleeping bag.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, just again, like, this guy might be high, maybe, but this girl is shit faced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, utterly shit faced. Come on, man.
Yeah. These dudes are.
I know the theme of this movie kind of goes with this, but like,
bro, these dudes are kind of scummy. I agree.
And like his friend, I was used to the scummy, but then like this is where this guy's like, what's his name? James, I think.
James.
James starts to show the little scummy side, and I'm like, bruh.
Right, because that girl, that girl's fucked up like a shit brick house right now.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Like if he is high, he is lucid enough to understand what he's doing.
Sure.
I don't think she is.
No.
Right, no, so, she's beyond. You know,
and then later on, he decides he's not going to do that, and the reason he just makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, me neither. Excluding the drunkenness, but yes.
Yeah.
So James basically gets told that all those sleeping bags belong to Ashley, so he can't have them. But then they hear a scream from the woods. That's Pete, because Christy's body got up, walked over towards him. This part was kind of creepy.
Yeah.
She's just leaning in at him while he's making his little voicemail and just staring at him all fucking crazy.
Bald cooch and everything.
Oh, yeah, baby. But they hear him screaming and they're like,
they don't do shit, bro. They don't do nothing.
They're like, dude, they were just kind of like, huh? Okay.
Yeah. Like you heard someone scream nearby in the forest and they just kept joking.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
But then they see It Follows coming out the woods, because that naked girl is walking out the woods looking like It Follows, looking straight up like that monster.
Yeah, yeah. This is also like right before this is where the friend, I think, what's her name, Vivian or something, maybe?
No, it's Ashley and Lindsay.
I think it's Lindsay. Where Lindsay's like, you know she's a virgin, right?
No, Ashley says that about Lindsay.
Ashley says that about Lindsay. I'm like, yes. You know she's a virgin, right? And he's like, well, then I'm definitely not gonna like sleep with her, basically. And I'm like, so like her being shit faced drunk is okay, but her being a virgin's not. Like, what though?
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll
touch on that a little bit later too, because that comes up again, the virgin thing.
Yes. But, yes.
So It Follows is coming up to the lake on the other side of the woods. And they see a naked girl and they're just looking at her like, what the fuck is this? Ashley listens to the voicemail left on her phone and she puts it on speaker and it's Pete's voice. He tells the girls like, hey, look, your friend's out here. She's dead, but she's not. Y'all just call me back. Also, I'm probably the guy you saw across the lake a few hours ago.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed the show. And that's when James starts laughing.
Yeah, so I do like the unapologetic nature of that, like him being like, it doesn't matter that y'all saw me.
He does.
Yeah, he owns it. Yeah, yeah.
But this is going towards also, your point about James being a scumbag, because he starts laughing like it's funny that that his friend said that.
But then James also does something extremely also scummy, like right now, which is she comes out the woods, they all see her, and he's like, "Oh shit, quick, somebody give me their phone so I can take some pictures of this naked girl." So first off, the first reaction of seeing like a random stranger coming out of the woods naked is to take pictures.
And covered in blood.
And, like, there's no way you can't tell that she's just covered in blood. Like, it is apparent. Like, head to toe red. But you're like, let me take a picture of this naked. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not to take a high ground, but it really is. My first reaction would be like, something's wrong right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you don't, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
unless
if I see
there's
a random,
like a nudist colony nearby, something's wrong right now.
Well, that might be different. But like this case,
who
like,
has a blood fetish? Shout out to Strawberry and Ricky.
Strawberry and Ricky. It probably
I'm not a vampire.
I like the line James says right here. He's like, he catches himself laughing at the joke. He's like, his dick is not funny. His dick is not funny at all because it's a dick.
Because it's a dick.
9:24 p.m. Night has fallen and Ashley can't get her car to start. Another horror trope. And Lindsay's over by this campfire that I guess they made, downing a bottle of whiskey while the other two are they're calling like 911 and AAA. And Christy is she done went into the lake, so she's Jason Voorhees walking through the lake on the lake bed, and she going Jason Voorhees in a little bit again.
Yeah. She do Jason Voorhees a lot.
Yeah, she it follows Jason Voorhees all over the place. And then there's just some random girl pops up, shushes Lindsay, and runs away. Lindsay is spooked by this, so she calls Christy from the distance on her phone. All of a sudden, like we missed a scene and the editing went really wrong in this movie. The three of them are suddenly in front of the fire and Christy is standing before them naked and covered in blood, brandishing a glass shard.
Yeah.
How was everyone else's movie like this?
Yeah, definitely. I was like, what the hell?
Very random, very strange, and off-putting. And not in a good way. Because the movie never does anything like this before or later. So I don't understand what this was about. And if the movie would have given me something like this later, I would have got behind it. But this scene right here bothers me because I don't understand how we went from two people way off in the distance, one person on the phone, and then all of a sudden they're all in the same spot. And then the quote unquote monster of the film is right in front of them. It's just very weird. Very weird.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Christy attacks. And then Ashley bites her.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I guess that's, you know, like she's Goku or something.
I thought it was Lindsay that bit her.
It could have been. I could have been mistaken in the confusion of all of it.
Oh, good. It don't matter. One of them hoes bit her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she got bit.
James takes Lindsay back to the cabin while Ashley tries to lure away Christy, and she grabs an oar, and you hear from over by the cabin, "Did you tell him I'm a virgin?" Like, the joke is still playing out during this serious moment.
Yeah.
That I liked. So the movie brought me back, like right here. I was like, oh yeah, movie, you doing it.
Well, also she was like downing straight whiskey like it was water. So I think even in like the severity of the situation, she was so drunk that like it didn't even matter.
She does hit Christy with the oar and then goes back to the fucking cabin with the other two, and she's like, instead of trying to ram the door down, just break the glass. And my boy's like, James is like, break the glass. I'll break your fucking ass, bitch. Like muttering to himself. He's not saying it to her.
Also, James kind of had his chance to be like a, what would you call it, an alpha male or a man's man or some shit. Like, this naked bloody chicken is trying to kill you, but like, you don't try to like stand up to it or defeat it really. And you basically run away as soon as the opportunity is given to you.
Right.
Meanwhile, bad boss bitch Ashley's like, nah, bruh, I'm grabbing this paddle and I'm caving your skull, and you know,
right? Yeah,
no, she took action. She definitely.
Yeah, James is a weak character though.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
One of the heavy breather watchers peeks from behind the curtain in the doorway, and they're like, "Oh shit, it's Christy's dad," and one of the girls is like, "That's his grandpa," And then the drunk girl, Lindsay, she's like, who are you, old geezer? I like that line. Another watcher appears with a knife. This is a dude. This is Philip. So when we're going to learn all them in a minute. The girl that shushed Lindsay earlier, that's Felicite.
Felicite. Yeah.
And so they fucking show up, and Christy pops out of nowhere and attacks again, dragging Lindsay off in a sleeping bag, and just Jason Voorhees's her ass against a tree. I like the nod.
Yep. I love the nod. I enjoyed it too.
First thing good I thought sleeping when, I, bag when I ever saw it.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
As soon as I saw the sleeping bag, I was like, Are they gonna do it? Are they gonna do it? I was extremely satisfied when I saw bloody sleeping bag being wailed against the tree. I was like, yeah.
Dude.
If I'm not mistaken, it was yellow, right? It was a yellow sleeping bag?
Yeah, yep. it was yellow. And then after he swung it, there started being blood on the tree. And I was like, that's a good effect.
It's very reminiscent, dude. Very reminiscent.
Yeah.
And I thought at first that she was going to drag the sleeping bag into the water and drown her. When she started swinging against that tree, I was like, chef's kiss. Love it.
Yeah.
The watchers call James and Ashley into the cabin, and they go inside. And so, yeah, here we do learn there's Philip, Felicite, and this old dude, Francis. Love that name for a character.
Yes, I do.
Philip cuts his wrist, and he starts to draw a sigil in blood on the door. This is when I was like,
so, yeah. I guess I should have mentioned this earlier, because like, when I first started watching the movie, the first act, you don't know what the hell is going to happen. Like, I didn't look into this movie at all.
Me neither.
So, so I was trying to figure out, like, what kind of horror movie it was going to be, because I was like, oh, maybe it's a slasher. Like, maybe it's redneck family in the woods kind of thing, which it kind of is, but it's so much more. And then when I saw a dead body, I was like, oh, is this a zombie film? And then I saw the sigil. I was like, it's not a zombie film. I mean, kind of is, but it's not. It's so much more than that.
Mm-hmm. That would have been cool if I would have brought another zombie film.
It's redneck in the wood. It's cosmic in the sense that they're toying with things that they don't fully understand. That's one aspect of cosmicism. So it's a little cosmic. And the blood magic is super cosmic.
Mm-hmm.
And just supernatural. So there's supernatural in there as well. The sigil.
Supernatural slasher.
And there is some slasher. So yes, it is a slasher too.
That's why I brought it, fellas.
Dude.
Because of what's about to unfold.
Yes.
This to me is what screams nightclub movie right here, because of the goddamn. Yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to save my load for when we do the ratings.
The blood magic acts as a barrier that keeps Christy out. She cannot cross this blood sigil that's been written on the door. So for now, she's basically just useless. She's outside of the cabin. They're inside. Francis pulls out a gun, and he tells James and Ashley that they're a part of this now, and that they need. He's like, I need y'all's assistance in this. And his kids are there. That's Philip and Felicite. That's how he called her. Her name's Felicity, but he calls her Felicite, and I love that. I love it, dude. And he calls Christy my reborn bride. Like, he's just like, dude, so you know that they're a part of whatever's going on, and they're a part of what happens at the beginning. They've been orchestrating this shit, or at least attempting to orchestrate something, and it kind of went awry.
Yeah.
I love this scene where Francis tells Felicite to go get a sample, and it turns out James already got his sample taken earlier when he was sleeping.
Yep.
They stabbed him, and that's why he had that wound on his arm when the girls woke him up. This is kind of something that we glossed over, but he had a wound on his arm when they shot him with the water gun. But he wants a sample from Ashley. James tries to stand up for a second, but Francis walks up to him with that gun. He's like, you want a bullet between your eyeballs or between your nether balls?
Your nether balls.
When I heard nether balls, bro, I was like, damn. Nether balls. I never thought of that before, dude. That's so dope. He tells Felicity, in regards to the screwdriver and getting the sample from Ashley, do it like real men do. Put it in and screw. Like, damn. Yeah. The lines just keep coming, dude. The lines pour out of Francis's mouth. This is actor Frankie Ray, by the way. This guy is a 10, and he gets a special credit in the movie because I guess I don't know him personally, but I'm assuming he's of note in the indie horror scene or indie film scene, perhaps.
Yeah.
So I think he was a get for this movie. Felicity keeps asking, like, are they going to die? Like, she seems concerned. And Frances keeps telling her not to concern herself with that. Philip throws James across the room so that Felicity can stab Ashley in the arm with the screwdriver and collect her blood. And then Frances tells him to prepare the altar. And that's when I was, like, getting even more hard, dude. I was like, blood sigils. Now there's an altar. What the fuck? And dude, James is pissed. He's like, God damn, you family of Satan worshiping cunts. And Francis starts to laugh, and he calls him a fucking stupid, ignorant fool. And how now he will complete the summoning. I came.
Yeah.
I came.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Because we all love cosmic horror here. We all love folk horror here. It's been established. I'm going to say it for me, and I'm assuming it's true for everyone else. I love in a movie when there's a ritual and you actually get to see the ritual happen.
Yep.
I love that.
Absolutely.
And there's a movie I want to cover one day called A Dark Song. I really want to cover that movie one day. Ooh. Because that movie is dope as fuck. It's kind of like, it's not the same as, but it's kind of like that movie I liked from a year or two ago, Rick. The Cellar, where they where the whole house was the ritual, being performed. A Dark Song is similar. It's not the same, but it's similar. And I love this shit, dude. So Cody, dude, yeah, man. All of this up until this point, I'm enjoying the movie. I mean, I'm digging it, and now I'm just
whatever that was my intention.
Whatever that sound is, yeah. Well, good. Yeah. You got it, man. Felicite blocks Francis from shooting James because he's about to get rid of him because he's like, we already, you've served your purpose. So fuck you. We're done with you. And then Francis, like, he gets down right by his daughter and he's like, do you remember what I asked you when I said I would fix everything? When I said I would bring us all back together? He's been saying that, like, finally his baby is coming back to him through Christy, and he means his wife, their mother.
Yeah.
And, I'm sorry. I skipped over this line, and I wanted to say it for Ricky because it reminds me of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Francis tells Philip, why don't you bring your mama on here with a son? And like that boy dragging Papa down the stairs, bro. I'm like, they're gonna go get Mama and bring her down the stairs. Yeah, dude. But yeah, Felicity saves James from getting shot, and Francis kneels by and he's like, remember when I said I'd bring us back together no matter the cost, and you told me thank you? I want to hear you say it one more time. And Felicity's like, thank you, daddy, thank you. He stands up, he's like, no matter what the cost. And he points the gun right at his own daughter's head. But then Philip rolls in with a shotgun and he's like, I'm a real son bitch, dad. And he fucking shoots his dad in the face.
Hell yeah.
And this effect is awesome. And dad falls down against the wall, gunshot wound in the eye, still alive. And then Philip walks up and says, but you're a real bitch. And he fucking shoots him and blows his head up.
Yep.
Amazing scene.
Yes. Hell yeah.
10:06 p.m. With the four of them trapped in the cabin, Felicity asks them to read from some really old parchment. This is that cosmic.
Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started in here.
Yeah. They assemble the altar with a chalice and a pentagram, and they're looking for a banishment spell. But Ashley tells Felicity, like, none of this is in English. And out of nowhere, and this doesn't come up again later. So this is another weird thing the movie does, where Felicity looks at her, screams demonically, and her eyes bulge and light up, and that's it.
Yep. It was, and it's never really addressed again.
Never.
It doesn't happen again. She just gets kind of angry and is like, oh, but that's it.
Yeah. And it's definitely supernatural. It's got hints of it for sure.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Blood is spilled for the altar here because Philip slits his arm and he's
okay. So I just want to have a counter here. This is the second time he slit his arm so far tonight. Oh yeah,
Philip gets fucked up the whole time, bro.
Just want to put that out there.
Yeah, and he's bleeding all over the place, making that pentagram. Christy on the outside of the cabin is making her own blood sigils on the windows. So just make note of that. Yeah. That's happening outside.
Yep.
So we're calling her Christy because that's the character. But at this point, we know this is some kind of demon that's possessed her.
Yep.
They think it's the mother from the family before, but don't trust the demon. This is demonic shit.
Mm-hmm.
They finally found the spell that they were looking for, that banishment spell, as Philip collapses from blood loss. And he's like, I think I need a Band-Aid. And Felicity's like, classic Philip. Felicity asks, this is where the virgin shit comes back in, because Felicity asks Ashley and James if, are either one of you virgins? And they both deny it, but James is overcompensating. He's like, I can get you a list of women. I mean, you know, like it. He's like, trust me, man. And then Felicity goes in like a dog and starts smelling Ashley's crotch. And she's like, you're special. You're real special.
Oh, God, yes.
She says that she can probably improvise this spell, like telling Philip, but Philip doesn't respond because he's dez, because he done wasted too much blood out his body.
Yep.
He used up all his blood, bro.
Yeah, the third cut was the deepest. And at that point, he had no more left.
Rod Stewart and Sheryl Crow chime in. The third cut is the deepest. Yep. When that's you're performing exactly a satanic spell. Yeah. Felicity checks outside the house and sees what the fuck the Christy demon's up to. And she's like, okay, fuck this. She slits Philip's neck, collecting his blood into the chalice, and instructs Ashley and James to do exactly what she says. Otherwise, they're all going to die tonight.
Yep.
So she slits one of her wrists into the fucking chalice and duct tapes it shut and then places it in the center of the pentagram. She pours out Ashley's blood into the chalice that she had collected moments before and tells Ashley that she needs her period blood spotting. I thought it was period blood, but it turns out it's a secret pregnancy blood. So, Cody, here's what I'm going to ask you. What's Shark Week? What does It's Been 3 Days mean? Why are these chicks pregnant and taking pills and drinking? Does any of this...
It's been... Shark Week is actually being on our period, because your period, a girl's period usually
attracts
lasts a
sharks
week.
And attracts sharks.
Yeah.
And Sasquatches.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the three-day... especially.
The three-day thing is, from what I got, that's if you don't start your period when you're supposed to, like in 3 days, that means you're pregnant.
Gotcha.
Okay. And something with the spell, and I wish I would have wrote it down, because they say it once, more than once. Three and three, and three is he, but now it's a she, or something like that. It's some kind of weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I'd have wrote it down. But so she's saying that they need her fucking baby blood, the blood from the baby, the pure baby in her tummy.
The adrenochrome.
Yeah.
They need that goddamn elixir that keeps Joe Biden alive. Ashley removes her tampon and they squeeze the blood from it into the cup.
Oh.
And then more drips out onto the floor, and James is over there like, and Ashley's like, don't be a pussy.
Right. And then, it's just blood. Like, don't be a bitch.
When it drips down her leg, she just decides to squat a little and pour some more in there. It's just,
yeah, but,
God,
but
damn it,
but,
bro.
Felicity takes her tampon and like wrings it out,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
like drops it in the
and
cup
there's chunks.
And like mixes it.
It looks like Mamu water.
I've never known a solid one, boss. I've never known a solid one. Felicity tells James to drop his pants. And she throws him on the floor, mounts him, and starts riding him.
So
starts banging him.
Here, James is being a bitch again, because like, they're like, drop your pants. And he was like, nah, bruh. Nah, I don't want to do that. And like, both girls basically have to hassle him to get him to do it. And it's like, bro, what did you not understand about you need to do exactly what she says or you're going to
die? You need to do it. Yes. Like, yes. And then that's not even the most fucked up.
I'd have dropped. Not even the most fucked up. Yeah. I'd have drank the period blood out of the chalice, too.
What's the most fucked up part, Coder?
Oh, it's coming. When
it's coming.
Oh, and so is he. Real quick.
When he doesn't swallow.
Oh, well, okay, hold on.
I mean,
I thought you were saying when he comes in 6 seconds, literally, they time it, and they're like, wow, that was six seconds.
And he gets him like a bunch of shit for
it's
it.
Very efficient.
I laughed.
He's very efficient with his orgasms, ladies.
You're trying to stop this, like, psychotic demon monster from killing you, and you want him to last longer?
Right.
And you didn't even necessarily want to do it with him? Like, come on now. Why should he last any longer than 6 seconds? I'm pretty sure you just want to get it over with, right?
But this is also...
He did good. He did good this time.
Damn it. But it's Felicite's first time.
Right. She's a virgin. He's a virgin, too. This is where it's evident, because 6 seconds, she's a virgin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, though, my problem with this scene, and this is a nitpick, it's not an actual problem. The comedy of this scene overrides my problem.
Yeah.
But how the hell could he be hard right now? I would not be able to get hard right now, dude.
Don't even try, man. Like,
there's a demon outside. Everyone's drinking fucking period blood. Come on, dude. You're not getting hard right now.
I agree with you. What I'm saying is his sprint was kind of the same thing, though. Because, like, that dude done blew, like, 3 loads in less than an hour's time. Like, in a hurry.
Yeah.
In a hurry. Like, I mean...
They're all on the same page.
And he was about to kiss a dead girl.
It's not like it's not consistent. You can't say they aren't being consistent with it.
No. This is all part of the magic ritual that's happening right now. Blood, sex, magic, baby. Red Hot Chili Peppers up in this bitch. It's 10:27 p.m. at night. With no time to spare, Felicite draws a sigil on her stomach from the chalice blood and does the same to Ashley and James, and their stomachs start to like fizzle and burn and contort. And then Felicite begins the ritual. She drinks from this unholy chalice.
Without any problem. Without any problem.
Hell yeah.
She's a
real one.
Ashley too drinks from the chalice. Like she gets it in there. And then James.
It's a little harder for Ashley, but she gets it down. And then fucking James.
Fucking James. I like how they go up to him and his mouth is like, you can't even see his lips. That's how tight he's like, like, not me. And then they're like, come on, James. And then they basically both, just like with the coddling of the fucking, they both force him to ingest some of this blood. And then there's like a little bit left at the bottom, Trev. I think that's what you're talking about that tampon, the chunky.
Yeah.
I like this part because Felicite says maximum sanguinum, maximum, like all of it, dude. Yeah. You gotta drink all the blood.
Yeah, yeah.
I laughed at that. That shit got me, dude. That's clever writing. That's funny. I don't know. That was a 10 out of 10 moment. And I like how they're rubbing his neck, like, come on, get it down. Like, you gotta get it down. Right.
And then Ashley gets behind him and pretty much pries his mouth open.
Yes. Gots to force that boy. Yeah. Christy Demon enters the cabin. I guess her blood magic's working now. And James immediately spits the blood in Ashley's face, burning her face.
Yep.
And
starts to just spit sizzle.
They take up arms and they start to shoot Christy, but nothing's working. There's hellfire light pouring out of her gunshot wounds. Very dope.
Yeah.
And she bites into Ashley as the other two flee the cabin. So they're out of there. James and Felicite done abandoned it.
James throws Ashley into her.
Yep.
Son of a bitch.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, Ashley like, gets done wrong in this movie.
He's down bad for that. Like, really down bad.
Ashley deserved better in this movie.
Yeah, I agree.
It should have been her and Felicite that got out of the cabin.
I was kind of hoping, but I'm also not surprised at where it went.
James, bro.
Yeah.
Selfish James. Son of a bitch.
Hashtag me too.
Yeah. Big, what's his name? From Barbarian.
Oh, fucking Justin Long?
Big Justin Long energy, yeah.
Yeah.
But not nearly as charismatic or awesome.
Oh, true. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And James says, fuck it. And he just throws it.
Yeah.
For his trouble, Felicite punches James in the face.
Good.
Then grabs the glass shard that was dropped on the ground and stabs him with it. Then kicks him in the balls.
Yeah, but doesn't stab him deep enough in the neck to kill him or catch his carotid.
No.
And she says that was for Ashley.
Yeah. And then she hits him again. I like that. And it's like, this is, I think I like she kicks that him she says nuts.
That's for Ashley.
Yeah, yeah she kicks him in the balls and says, this is for me.
And this is for me. And this is where I'm like, you're the badass, Felicite. You're the badass.
Oh, Felicite's the shit.
She is, because she was the one that was originally concerned for their lives.
Yep.
Stepped in the way of, stepped in front of the gun for James.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. For James, bitch ass.
For his, punk ass James got saved by her. So fuck James. There, all of a sudden, Christy comes out. Like, she's done, did away with fucking Ashley.
She's and, coming out.
Uh-oh. But then you hear the sound of sirens. And she kind of runs off. I don't know why she's scared of that. That's weird. Maybe demons don't like sirens. I don't know.
She doesn't like Simon and Garfunkel.
What?
The sound of sirens. She doesn't like Disturbed either.
That was good. That was good.
You get it now.
The sirens are an ambulance, though, that arrives. The one that they called like forever ago in the movie finally shows up. And
said that they were gonna be like about
25 minutes. Turns out it's like a couple hours, whatever, later, a whole half a day. Who cares? Felicity's rowing away in the canoe, and you can hear screams coming from the shoreline, like where the ambulance arrives. So I guess Christy ran off, but then she came back and was like, I ain't scared of this shit. 11:30. James is running through the woods and he stumbles on Pete's dead body. And then Felicity shows up, and she's taunting him like, where are you going, boy? Hey,
did y'all notice that when he stumbles on Pete's body, that he's holding his dick?
No.
He's holding his dick. His dick is out, and he's holding it. Yes.
Is it tiny?
Oh. No. It's not. Oh.
Yeah. Well, they I only asked that because the girls earlier said like tiny penis.
It was hard to see because his head, like his hand, was around it. But you're assuming you have hand plus what's on top of the hand, and I would say like he's above average.
Oh,
the nightclub judging penis size based on dead corpses.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
So
it's really hard to tell.
He's not as big as Big Braden. Or anything. We should all be so lucky to be big like Big Braden.
I want that Braden button.
What I got from what I got from seeing that, like his dick out and stuff, when he was dying, I believe he was like, well, I'm gonna get one last one in.
Damn. And that 100% tracks with his character.
Yeah.
Throughout the film.
That's fucking fucked, man. That's fucked.
That's fucked, bud.
So she's taunting him, and you see Pete's spyglass. She pulls it out of his chest, because that's, I guess that's where Christy left it. And then she mounts James yet again, but this time it's not to fucking stick something in her. It's to stick something in him.
Good.
Oh.
She puts the spyglass in his mouth, and she starts counting down.
And then she American History X's this shit.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, ball.
Done and done. Yeah, kicks the spyglass into his mouth through the back of his skull. James is
gone.
R.I.P. You fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Then she stabs herself in the stomach.
Yes.
Why'd she do that?
I don't know. 11:45.
I have a theory, but we'll get to that at the end of the movie.
Felicity finds Christy by the blood-soaked ambulance, and they have a fucking throwdown. They fight. Felicity's stabbing Christy Demon, but Christy Demon beats her down, and Fulci style, thumb through the eyes, and then rips her head in two. Amazing
Pulls
shot.
It apart. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Yeah. Awesome.
Then proceeds to start gnawing on her brainstem.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
and walks off as the blood sigil on Felicity's belly starts to glow. Dope. Just dope. 11:56, a few minutes from midnight. Christy is approaching the first house we saw James deliver mail to, and her stomach is starting to give her fucking problems. Yep. She's in a lot of pain, and she falls to the ground. And then you see it, y'all. Oh, man, you see it. The vagina splitting in half.
Yep, oh, yeah.
And a fully grown version of... Is it? Because I couldn't tell because it's covered in blood. It's either a fully grown version of herself or of Felicity that crawls out of her vagina screaming into the night like an elk.
Yeah.
And that's where I was like, I wonder if Felicity stabbing herself in the stomach in the way she did was some kind of completion of a spell.
Or a self-preservation?
Yeah, that makes this last scene happen. That's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah. That's kind of what I felt about it, because I was like, that's Felicity crawling out. I was like, she must have finished some kind of magic to be like, I'm going to birth myself.
Yeah. To me, it looked like another Christy, but I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know either.
Felicity to me. The hair was darker.
They're both covered in blood, and it's at night, so I don't know. But what I will say is, this is a dope-ass final shot of a movie. Because that vagina split with the head ripping and the vagina splitting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight, she came blood and people.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
While she walked in the woods.
That was Tonight She Comes. Little underground hidden gem, I'd say, at the very least. We can get into final thoughts and ratings on it.
I'll go.
You'll go. Okay, Ricky, final thoughts and ratings, please, sir.
Go, go, Power Rangers!
So...
Mighty Morphin, Tonight She Comes in the Woods and Walks All Over the Place, Power Rangers!
Oh, we gotta put the solo in now.
Consider it done.
Yeah, I want to do my rating to the solo. So
nice,
like
nice.
She walks the woods, cuz I'll get my gripes out of the way.
Tonight she comes. Yeah,
yeah. She walks the woods, and
doubling down.
I'm gonna get my gripes out of the way. That's what I'm gonna do first.
Okay.
And She Walks the Woods.
Yes.
So, I feel like the beginning, the setup, just, man, like I'm glad the comedy's there, because it just, for me, the pacing in the movie is just way off. There's something in the pacing and in the storytelling that I struggle with a lot. That being said, once you get to, like, the hour mark, and everything really starts popping off and happening, like, it doesn't let up, and it's a lot of fun. I love the effects. The acting, while not great, was, you know, serviceable. Some of it better than others. I love Felicity, and I love Ashley's character. Ashley is cheeky as fuck. Also, there's some genuinely creepy scenes here. Like, naked ass lady stalking what's his name while he's on the phone.
Pete.
She was good. She was genuinely creepy and full of blood and naked. So she did that. I enjoyed the kills. I enjoyed the effects. Some of the shots were like, well, actually a lot of the cinematography is good. I'd say most of it. I'd say this movie's biggest faults would probably be in editing. Because, like you said, Trav, I did notice that weird jump, and I was like, man, like... And, you know, it seems like this is a movie that was made by, like, kind of in a hurry by people that, you know, didn't necessarily know what they were going for, maybe, the whole time.
so I give it that leeway. All in all, like, I kind of love it. 7 out of 10. There's a little love from me. There's parts of this that I love a lot. There's parts of it that had me looking at the time. So there's that. And I know y'all love the dad character's accent, but he drove me fucking crazy.
No!
I just, oh God. The Felicite over and over again.
I thought that was something. I mean,
it would make sense for me to like it, but I just he drives me crazy. Yeah. He's worse than the Ed Harley. You know, the Ed Harley witch from Pumpkinhead.
Which is a 10.
Yeah, she's the best. This guy didn't accomplish that for me.
Okay.
Yeah. But that is kind of what he reminded me of. Like, he was trying to be like the Pumpkinhead witch lady, which you know, cool.
Yeah.
You know. I like the references, like y'all said, the Jason. It Follows. You got some Texas Chainsaw in there, and then it gets all blood magic and cosmic, and people are wringing tampons out into cups. And yeah, I'm there for it. Like, I love it. I don't know. There's just something that the movie did or didn't do for me that, I don't know, I found myself waning interest a lot here and there throughout the film.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
There's that, buds.
But a 7 out of 10. That is
like, 7 out of 10.
Like I love, like that, I said, that's there's, a little there's love. Things, yeah. There's things I love, and there's a lot of things I don't. So it kind of just comes out in the wash right there.
Yeah.
Kind of comes out in the clung out tampon. Trev, go ahead and come in next, please.
I think my rating on this movie was kind of up in the air. It's technically like 2 ratings. So like real world rating, it's a 6.5 out of 10 for me. But it's a cosmic nightclub 10 is what I'm going to say. and I'll explain that. Okay. So why is it a 6.5 out of 10 real world? If Cody wouldn't have suggested this movie, and if I wasn't like borderline neurotic about finishing movies that I start, whether I like them or not, I might have been able to like take or leave this movie during the whole first act.
Yeah,
just being honest,
the first act is rough.
I was bored. Like I don't normally find myself playing on my phone when I watch movies, but I was like, and I was like, I know it's got to, like, I was just waiting because I was like, I know it's got to get better because Cody's not gonna like suggest trash, so at least not like terrible trash, right? So
he wouldn't suggest trash that's not at least succulent.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So like it took a while for me to get going with this movie, and like I agree with Ricky about like the hour mark, somewhere between like the second and third acts was where like things started popping off and gripping my interest. The acting was hit or miss for certain actors. The country girl and her dad, I'm spacing on names right now, but
Felicite and Francis.
Yeah, Felicite and Francis. Those actors did a really good job. The other actors were okay. At some parts, they're good. They just weren't consistent. Speaking of inconsistencies, the dialogue in this movie and some of the writing was kind of all over the place. It wasn't terrible because, like, you can definitely get the feel of the movie. It was doing a certain thing consistently, like the theme of the movie, but it was failing. The writing was failing. It, you know, the story was concise enough, but just some of the writing was not what I enjoyed that much. Not until the second half. The score and the sound effects of the movie were actually pretty good. I think that's one of the shining moments of like shining little technicalities of this movie was the sound design was there. I felt like it was somebody who could be really great at that, but just hasn't quite reached their peak. There's definitely talent there. Like, there's an eye for what needs to be there, but it just wasn't executed to the best of their ability. But it was still appreciated, right? Next up, the gore in this movie is a 10 out of 10. Like, 10. Just that.
Yeah, the effects are 10. Dude.
Yeah, the effects, the gore, all the witchy stuff, all the body horror, all that's tense. All of those are tense. Like, if we want to break it down, the second half of this movie is a 10. It's just the first half where I'm just like struggling, which is why the real world.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. The real world's rating is definitely like a 6.5, but it's a cosmic nightclub 10 because the ending makes it worth all of it. Right. Yeah. Like, I will 100% suggest people to watch this movie if they like horror movies. Right. And I will rewatch this movie again because it's like the ending is so fun, so exciting, yeah, so exhilarating that like, I have no problem being like, I'm going to watch this again. Not looking forward to the first half of the movie again, but the second half is what I will like.
The first half might grow on us, but you know,
you're right. I think a rewatch
a lot of time with Ashley and Lindsay in the first act.
Yeah.
And, so, and yeah, I'm an Ashley fanboy. So
I knew you would like Ashley.
I'm about that girl. Yeah. She gets it.
Sure. I'm going to say, starting this movie out, and I went in blind like Trev did, like didn't read about it, just went in.
Mm-hmm.
I got
me too, bud.
And like Ricky, I got immediately the cabin fever vibes off the dialogue, the interactions, and Night of Something Strange vibes. Again, I said earlier, I thought the same team could have made this movie, so I didn't have the same issues with the first act. I was kind of into it. I was hooked at a certain point. And then once the movie got into nightclub territory with the blood magic and the rituals and the cosmicism, I was fully in. Do I have some issues? Yeah. Is the acting bad? No. I think there's some standouts. I think the dad is a standout, personally. I really enjoyed Francis as a character. Oh,
he stands out, partner.
I enjoyed him, though. And I enjoyed Ashley. I enjoyed James. Pete was great. I thought, again, Cody... I thought Cody would have been a great Pete if I could replace somebody that we know with a character in this movie.
Yeah.
I thought he'd have hammed it up real good as Pete. Mm-hmm. Like y'all said, the effects are on point, man, dude. The fucking head ripping and the vagina splitting, that's towards the end. But like everything before that, like everything they're doing that they show on camera is really done well.
Yes, and it is.
The cinematography, like Ricky said, awesome. Throughout the
whole, a lot of this was the shot composition was great.
When they're looking across the lake. Yeah. How we mentioned at the beginning how he had ideas for like a sequel or something else. I would love to see this guy like redo another movie with this. Cause I honestly feel it'd be a lot better. Cause like I said, I think the talent was there. It just wasn't like refined yet.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, if we made a movie this good though, I bet we'd be proud as fuck.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, 100%.
So lay the bar low so we rise to the occasion. If the nightclub makes a movie this good, it's a 10 out of 10. But
yeah, you're damn right it is.
But for this movie, the ending, I was hovering around a 7.5 to an 8 based on everything considered. And I'm taking the movie into consideration and how we rate things on the nightclub. So I was around a 7.5 to an 8. And my biggest issue with the movie, besides that scene that I pointed out earlier where the editing was crap, was the ending. And the ending I'm talking about is in between Felicite and James running out of the cabin and then the actual final shot of the vagina splitting and the new entity crawling out and screaming into the night like a bloody fucking demon. That part with her in the woods with him and the ambulance showing up and Christy demon running off, it all felt so clusterfuck, and I was like, this is so random and not thought out, and
that's
up until this point the movie felt thought out to me. It felt thought out and I thought it was good. And considering what you said, Rick, and what the trivia showed us is that they probably shot this on a very limited amount of days, because we learned earlier that the actress playing Christy had 4 days to shoot her shots. So they might have shot this movie in a week for all we fucking know, maybe two if they're lucky.
Right. But
all that being considered, it seemed like they had a well thought out movie until that ending. And I'm like, this is kind of rushed feeling. But like it often does, talking with y'all and like having fun with it made those final shots more fun to talk about and think about, where she punches him in the nuts and claims those punches for her. And and reflecting on the fact that she gave herself up to save James's bitch ass and all that, it made it a little bit better. Did it save it? Not quite.
Yeah.
I will give this movie an 8 out of 10. Is it a nightclub cosmic 10? Trev, I want to be there with you. Mm-hmm. For a certain portion of this movie, yes, it definitely is. The ritual, mm-hmm. the blood magic, all that shit, it's there. Mm-hmm. But I can't fully commit. I can't. Not yet. Maybe like Rick said.
Maybe in rewatch, the future, yeah.
Maybe. But yeah. For right now, I'm going to settle at an 8 out of 10. All things considered, done very fucking well. So 8 out of 10 from T-Boo. Cody, this was your movie. Take us home with your final thoughts and ratings, baby.
Just like everybody, I feel like the first act has a lot of weakness. Writing a 30-minute setup of a movie is fucking hard. It is. And when it comes to this one, you could see where that difficulty showed. To me now, the characters needed to be fleshed out a little more.
Yeah.
I feel like they spent much more time on Ashley and what's her face than they did James and Pete. And then especially how they had split them up after no time at all. The dialogue, yes, was weak in a lot of places. I agree with that too. Now, when the movie picked up, when they started interacting with the entity and the cabin scene, where they do the ritual. First time I saw that, I was both disgusted and like just laughing my ass off.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's awesome. The whole like second half of the movie is great to me. Few inconsistencies that we talked about here and there, but I loved that whole part. I don't have a problem with the acting, really. Really nothing else. And the effects.
Yeah, 10. The effects.
Great, great. So, saying all that, I would give it a solid 8 as well.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Thank you for tonight she comes, man. Or she comes tonight.
No problem. Yes.
Tonight she comes in the woods. Embrace that time of the month, cuh.
Damn, you got 3 days, Shark Week.
And if you don't have that time of the month, make sure you carry a large Bowie knife with you so you can cut yourself on the arm 3 times.
Even dark, weird entities of demons run away from sirens.
They all scattered a 5-0, cuh.
5-0.
Stay spooky and keep walking the woods till she comes.
Try not to leave your DNA evidence on any dead bodies you happen upon.
Yeah. Look, man, I watched that entire movie, and even though there was like 6 seconds of bliss in it, she never really came, bro.
No.
She's gonna do it to me one more time. Lana tonight, she gone.